Stand all across this house and just lift our hands to the Lord right now. And come on, would you make that your prayer? King of glory, I pray that you'd fill this place. Lord, let your glory fill this place today. Let your power fill this place. Let your touch fill this place, oh God. Let your healing fill this place. Let your peace. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let deliverance fill this place. Harabatoria, let there be a refreshing in this place. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let your glory fill this place, God. Do the work that we need today, Lord. God, we lift you up and magnify you. I pray that you would fill this place with your touch right now in Jesus' name. Come on, the Lord's working. God's moving. God's touching. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We exalt your name. We lift your name, Lord. We praise your name today.
King of glory, fill this place.
Won't you fill this place?
King of healing.
Yes, thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Oh,
King of my peace, fill this place.
Oh, King of
my joy, fill.
Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Dance in your presence, dance in your presence, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah,
sing dance in your presence, dance in your presence, dance in your presence,
dance in your presence, dance in your presence. Dance in your presence, dance in your presence, dance in your presence,
dance in your presence.
Sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah,
sing hallelujah. King of glory.
Hallelujah, all across this house. Would you just bask in the presence of the Lord right now? Just soak it in. Just open your heart for everything he wants to do and how he wants to work and move in you right now in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen, 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 amen. God, you are so good. Lord, you are so good. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're thankful for the touch of God. Amen. I know we don't live just by feelings, but I want to tell you what, it's so good to feel the Lord. We don't serve God just according to how we feel, but it's such a blessing to feel His touch and His power. Amen. I'm thankful for feeling the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm thankful that times that I've been sick and I've had prayer and all of a sudden I just feel something from heaven, the virtue from heaven begin to flow in my body. I'm thankful for times that it was dark and depressing and all of a sudden the joy of the Lord became my strength. We're blessed today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Good to see everyone here today. And we welcome our guests. Be praying for all of our regulars that are sick. It's going around. It is the season. And you know what? If you don't want to shake somebody's hand, give them a fist bump or an elbow bump or something like that. But keep your germs to yourself. That's fine. We don't. We believe in sharing, but just not that type. Amen. But keep the church in prayer. And obviously, our area is experiencing a lot of sickness. But we're going to come through that, and spring is on the way. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, it's a wonderful place that we live in, and we're blessed. And I believe that the favor of God is upon our area. I know His favor is on our church, and it's exciting to see all that God is going to do. How many of you made it to one of the camp meeting services this week in Lebanon? I know there was many that were there, blessed to be able to go to some of that, and I'm thankful for the preaching, the fellowship, and the worship, and it's good to see God moving in that way. And you know, if you want to make a road trip this week, it's going to be in Poplar Bluff. I think it's the Black River Coliseum. So next week, I forget if next week is Kansas City or St. Louis, but anyway, the next 2 weeks will be either Kansas City or St. Louis, whichever comes first, and that would be a blessing if you wanted to make a road trip. But I'm thankful for what God's doing in our district, and we're believing for revival all across Missouri. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Word of the Lord today, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. In our announcement cards today, you might have noticed a little different announcement at the beginning of that. But I would like to request that if you are able at various times throughout the week, and you don't have to say I'm going to do it every day for an hour a day, but if you're able to come to the church to pray for some time during the week, even if it's just, if you're just passing through, you know what, I got 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes, and I'd like to go by the church and spend some time in prayer. I think that would be in order. Of course, it's always in order, but I think it'd be a blessing to us. And a blessing to you, a blessing to the church, a blessing to me as pastor. I want this place to have the sound of prayer throughout the week. Amen, amen. And we use this facility, you know, a few times a week, but it sits here the rest of the week. I want there to be a feeling when you come into the sanctuary that you know prayer has been going on all throughout the week. There's something about a place like that. You go in and there's a hush, there's a holy reverence, there's an anoint. You just feel the anointing of God, and keep that atmosphere going. I don't want it to be that just when we come in for pre-service prayer before Sunday or before Wednesday, we're having to get things going. No, let there be an atmosphere of prayer already here, because saints of God have come throughout the week and have spent time with the Lord. And I want to tell you, it'll be an encouragement to you. It'll be encouragement to the rest of the church, encouragement to your pastor. And so just if you can, come various times. And like I said, don't make a schedule and then you feel bad because you can't keep it. But if you're able to come for a few minutes, I think it would be important to do that. And it will make a difference. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. A lot of times we have the wrong idea about what spiritual warfare is all about. The concept of spiritual warfare is not, well, it's not to win, but it's to stand. Because see, the battle has already been won. Jesus Christ was victorious over death and hell in the grave. We're not in this thing to have to win it ourselves. He's already won this. I want to tell you, the blood has already won. He already paid the price at Calvary. You see, we don't have to be in it to win it. He's already won. But we've got to stand. We've got to stand. He that endureth until the end shall be saved. So we're going to get some victory today. It might not be the victory we're looking for, because we want the battle to be over. We want the struggle to go away. We want to be able to sit back and drink iced tea mixed with lemonade. But sometimes we've got to realize that you see, the enemy's not happy about what God is doing, and this is not even really about me. We're just caught in the middle of this. But there's going to be some times that we're going to just have to stand. We're just going to have to stand and let God bring us through and see the salvation of the Lord. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. To stand. Here's my title for today. Turn to somebody and tell them, oh. 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 This is a spiritual battle. Oh, this is a spiritual battle. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I remember the moment. Although it was, I'm really sad to say this, it was 25 years ago. 25 years ago. But it seems like yesterday. I was a student in college, going to school full-time and working several jobs and active in all the activities of the church, busy with life, but all of a sudden I realized everything was not okay. Something was wrong with me. I was not normal. Just McCoy says amen, but everyone else around me seemed to have it all in place, seemed to have it all together, but inside my life was falling apart. And there would be times that an overwhelming sense of dread would come over me, and depression and fear and darkness. And the thing was, I didn't have anything to be afraid of. I didn't have a reason to be depressed. You see, life was really pretty good, but still a cloud would hang over me, and at times I would feel suffocated by the pressure, and I had to escape. I had to get out of it. If I was sitting down, I'd have to stand up and move around. I'd have to get my mind on something else, and troubling thoughts would come, and thoughts that I didn't have the answer to, and I thought I was going crazy. I thought I was about to lose it. How embarrassing. Because everybody else seemed to have it all together, and here I was about to fall apart. And I can remember sitting one day on the side of the bed and desperate for something to change and begging for God to deliver me from my craziness and searching for a way out of the pressure, and I picked up the phone and I called my father, and and explained some of the things that were happening, and I can still remember hearing some of the wisest advice I have ever heard. It was just a few words from my father changed my life. He simply said, you know, this may be a spiritual battle you're going through. And it was like light pierced through the darkness of my soul. The cloud of depression, it didn't just automatically leave, but through the fogginess of my mind and through the burden of pressure, and there was an answer, and there was hope now, and there was understanding. Oh, this is a spiritual battle. Let me tell someone here today, not everything is a spiritual battle. Just because you have a flat tire, it doesn't mean that little demons were out there on the highway holding a nail for you to hit when you went by. Some things are just life, but some things are spiritual. Some things are life, but some things are spiritual. And it's time that we wise up about some things that we're going through and not just dismiss it as, well, that's just life happening. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't know everything that you've been going through, but I feel that some here today, you've been fighting this all by your own self. You've been fighting it in your flesh, and the enemy has you convinced that you're not normal, that you're about to lose it, that you're a failure, that you don't have a future, that you can't get it together, and so you might as well give up. You might as well leave the church. You might as well just run to escape the pressure. But let me help us out a little bit here today, because hell only attacks those who have a future. Hell only attacks those who have a future. And the enemy would not be fighting you if God was not about to do something with you and through you. Come on, if there wasn't a miracle on the way, then the enemy wouldn't even be worried about your life. If you weren't threatening the kingdom of darkness, then you'd be of no interest to the devil. But hell is scared of those who are dangerous. Come on, somebody, if you've been going through it, you need to get a little happy right now. You need to be thankful. You need to rejoice about it. You need to just dance in his presence, because the hell is scared of you. You are dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Come on, you need to thank God. It's a confirmation that I'm on the right track. Something's going right. Anytime we go into the promised land, there are new giants to fight. Every level that we advance to means there's new devils that we have to deal with. Every bit of territory taking back for the kingdom of God means that there are some demonic forces that are not happy about not having a home anymore. Just because God has promised us something, it does not mean it is going to be easy. Every time we go into the promised land, there are new giants. But I want to tell you that once you run those giants out, we get to live in their cities. Come on. Once you fight the battle, once you determine you're going to stay there and nothing's going to drive you out of the kingdom, nothing's going to keep you from the plan of God, once you run the giants out, you get to live in their cities. You get to live in houses that you didn't build. You get to enjoy the milk and the honey that's in the promised land. The first sermon that I preached here just before we became pastor, I read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. Oh, we get excited about all of that. But those things don't come without some battles. They don't just happen by accident. It doesn't mean that everything's always going to be easy. Come on, let me tell you today, when it comes to the kingdom of God, you get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. And if we want the blessings of God, and if we want to see dominion in this city, and if we want to have the victory that God has promised us, it's going to cost us something. The kingdom of darkness does not give up without a fight. He's not going to just give you the keys and say, here, take my house. He's not going to just give you the keys to your school and say, come on in and do what you want to do. He's not going to give you the keys to your workplace and just say, oh, come on, you can have revival here. No, but there's going to have to be a battle. There's going to have to be a fight. The enemy will put up resistance, but it's God that is going to make a way if we will stand through this. He's promised us victory. He's promised us a land flowing with milk and honey. But there's also giants in the land, but we are well able to take it. Somebody once said, warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. Look at King Herod, the time of the birth of Jesus. He's willing to kill every male child in the land under the age of 2, in order to get at Jesus. And that same spirit will try to destroy every anointing. It will try to take out every potential prayer warrior. Come on, it'll try to take out every young person with a calling on their life. Every strategic person in the kingdom of God, it tries to destroy them before they ever reach their potential. You've been going through it, don't you dare give up. Come on, don't you dare give up. Don't you dare throw in the towel. Don't you dare run. Don't you start believing the lies of the enemy. Don't you think you're going crazy. But just take a deep breath with me and say today, oh, this is a spiritual battle. Come on, this ought to encourage somebody here today. You're not losing your mind. You're not losing your mind. This is a spiritual battle. You're not defeated. Come on, you've got a future. And because the enemy sees your potential, that's why he's attacking you today. No, it's not going to be easy. No, it's not a smooth ride. Everything isn't always perfect, but you're in a spiritual battle. And get this today, you're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. You just got to just stand. You got to just stand. You've got to determine, I'm not going anywhere. I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm going to stand on His word. I'm going to claim His promises. Come on, bring it on, devil, because Jesus Christ has already won the victory, and I'm going to stand. I'm going to hold on to that promise. Oh, this is a spiritual battle. If you feel like the level of attack against you is much more than you're able to handle, I want to tell you it's probably true. Because the enemy attacks us on our level of destiny. He doesn't attack you at the level you're at right now. He attacks you at the level of your destiny. Some people, they struggle so hard and they're so surprised by the level of resistance in the spirit, and they're taken off guard by the intensity of the attack against them. They don't understand why their family goes through so much. It's beyond their expertise. It's like they're in a toddler's karate class and they have to fight a black belt. Why am I being attacked like this? Why am I struggling? Come on, some of you young people, you wonder why in the world it's so hard to do what you're doing. Why in the world it's so hard to have victory? Why in the world it's so hard for you to worship? Why it's so hard for you to witness? Because the enemy is not attacking you where you're at right now, but he sees your potential. He sees what God has called you to be. He sees the great giant in the kingdom of God, that the potential is inside of you. And so he's attacking you on that level before you ever get there. Because he knows if you ever realize who you are in the kingdom of God, if you ever realize the victory that God has already provided for you and the difference you can make in your school and in your home and in the city, then he knows he's in trouble. He fights you on the level of your potential. But that should encourage you today, because you're not a failure. You do have a future. The enemy's attacks prove that. And we don't have to fight this by ourselves, thank the Lord. But Jesus Christ has already won the victory. And we've just got to stand. We've got to keep coming to church. We've got to keep worshiping God. We've got to keep faithful to our prayer times. We've got to keep reading the Word of God. Come on, we've just got to stand, because we're going to come out in the end. This is a spiritual battle. Real quickly, I want to give us three attacks of the enemy. Three attacks of the enemy. First of all, he'll try to run you crazy. He'll try to run you crazy. He'll try to literally make you think you're losing your mind because of the spiritual attack. Hell will try to make you think that you're out of the will of God when you're really in the will of God. The enemy will attack your mind. He'll attack your spirit. He'll try to make you think you're going to lose it, that you're going to fall apart, that everybody's going to laugh at you because you can't hold it together. Come on. Come on, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and the thought will come, they're going to have to put me in a straitjacket, and they're going to have to come and wipe the drool off my chin, because I'm about to lose it. Come on, I've been there. Hell has been trying to tell you all that it's going to do to you. He'll try to run you crazy. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. I rebuke the spirit of fear. And Lord, I thank you for the power. I thank you for the love. And I thank you for a sound mind. Come on. We're all a little crazy, but we're just crazy for Jesus. We still got a sound mind. Come on, thank the Lord for a sound mind. Thank the Lord for a sound mind. He caught to rubble your abaha. Hallelujah. If the devil could run you crazy, he would. But all he has is lies and fear and intimidation. You just keep standing on the promises of God. You just keep declaring the word of God. I've been given a sound mind. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to lose my mind. But I'm going to come through this in victory. And I'm going to come through with a sound mind. Come on, some of you declare it today. I've got a sound mind. Come on, I feel a little faith rising in this house today. Some of you have been going through some stuff, but you realize, oh, this is a spiritual battle. If he can't run you crazy, he'll try to run you out. Out of the will of God. Out of the church. Out of the purpose that God has for you. He'll try to run you right out of the calling that God has for your life. Just let someone make a start for God. Just let them answer the call of God. Come on, answer that call to go to the next level. Just let somebody get a burden for prayer like they've never had before. And as soon as they become a threat to the enemy's kingdom, then the attack is on. And if he can't run them crazy, he'll try to run them out. Out of the very thing that they need to keep on doing. The best thing they can do at that point is keep faithful to church services. But he'll try to run them out. Come on, the best thing they can do is keep on praying and keep on pressing through, but he'll try to run them out. Somebody needs to determine today, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to stop doing what God's called me to do. I'm not going to let that spirit of fear and intimidation run me out of God's will, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and I'm going to stand. I'm not moving. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to trust God. Bring it on, devil. I'm not going to run. He caught a rubber satabahaya. Hallelujah. Amen. If he can't run you crazy, and if he can't run you out, then he'll try to run you down. Why do you feel like quitting? Why do you feel like a failure? Why do you feel like it's no use to keep trying? Why do you feel tired and depressed and drained? Why are you too tired to come to church? Why are you too tired to pray? Why are you too tired to keep fighting? The enemy does his best to run you down. You shall know them by their fruits. What does the spirit of the devil feel like? Hopelessness. Because you want to talk about utter hopelessness? That is his whole being, utter hopelessness. His story has already been written. Jesus Christ has already won the victory. If you don't have a reason to be depressed and you're feeling depressed, this might be a spiritual battle. If life really is pretty good, and yeah, you have flat tires now and then, and you got to pay the bills and all that, but really, life is really not that bad, and all of a sudden you just have fear and doubt, and everything's falling apart. This might be a spiritual battle. If you just come from a red-hot church service and you've been worshiping God and you prayed through and you feel the power of God, and you go home and on Sunday night all of a sudden you feel utter hopelessness come over you and you just, I want to tell you, it might be a spiritual battle and you might be feeling the effects of the enemy because he is utterly hopeless. He has no future. His story has already been decided. Come on, I want to tell you what Jesus Christ has already stolen the keys of his own house. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I want to tell you what, the enemy is hopeless. But all he's got now is fear and lies and intimidation and manipulation. But you got to realize this is a spiritual battle that I'm going through. It's not that I'm depressed. It's not that I'm hopeless. I've got a hope that's greater than anything in this world. And I've got to rise above this attack. And I've got to stand through this. He'll try to run you crazy. He'll try to run you out, and he'll try to run you down. Single-handedly, he took on 850 false prophets. The Lord answered his prayer with fire from heaven. The Bible says Elijah slew the prophets of Baal by the brook Kishon. He tells King Ahab, "You get ready for rain." He goes to the top of Mount Carmel and he prays for rain 7 times until he sees a cloud coming out of the sea like a man's hand. And then the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he runs all the way back to the palace in Jezreel, possibly about 16 miles. I do about 3 miles and that's enough for me. He runs so fast that he passes King Ahab in his chariot. What a day. What a victory. Indeed, the hand of God was on him because no man could have done any of this without the mighty hand of the Spirit of God. And now King Ahab's wife, Jezebel. You see, she represented every demonic attack against the true worship of God. 1 Kings 16 and 31 tells us, "And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him." As if it had been a light thing. As if it wasn't any big deal. Not only did Ahab walk in the sins of Jeroboam, but he also married Jezebel, the daughter of a pagan king. And here is the king of Israel. Here's the king of Israel serving and worshiping a false god, an idol. And he marries Jezebel, whose very name represents the worship of Baal. And she was more than glad to share his throne and to use his authority to convert all of Israel to worshiping Baal. She killed the prophets of God. She set up 850 false prophets. She manipulated and controlled Ahab in one of the darkest times of Israel's history. Now here's the thing. On top of Mount Carmel, the battle was never between Elijah and Jezebel. On top of Mount Carmel, it was between God and the devil. Elijah was full of the Spirit of God. Jezebel was possessed by Satan. Mount Carmel was a battle between the powers of hell and the power of God. And there's no match there. There's no match. The prophets of Baal, they tried to get their dead God's attention by dancing and cutting themselves and crying out to the top of their voices, but there was no answer from Baal. But then Elijah goes and he builds the altar. Oh, I want to tell you, sometimes you just got to say, I'm going to build the altar in the face of this attack, in the face of this demonic attack against my life and family. I'm going to build an altar. And when the sacrifice was ready, Elijah goes and he pours water all over everything. So much so that it goes off and it fills the ditch around it. And Elijah took it and he prayed. When he prayed, God answered from heaven and he sent fire down from heaven. It consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the altar there. It consumed even the water that was in the ditch around it. And Elisha took those false prophets and he killed them that day. And the people repented and they turned back to God. And up until this point, the battle had been between God and the devil. But something changed here. 1 Kings 19:1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Imagine Jezebel listening as she listened to Ahab telling her all about what had happened on the mountain, how the miraculous fire had fallen on Elijah's altar, how the people fell to the ground in awe and in fear of God, and how all of her false prophets were killed, and Jezebel's face turns red with anger as the devil rises up in her, and she says, I may have lost all my priests, I may have lost the affection and the worship of the people, and I'm going to go after that Elijah. This servant of God who caused such havoc in my kingdom, I don't care what else happens, I'm going to get this man of God. Now Elijah had the hand of God upon him. God had answered his prayer supernaturally. Fire had come down from heaven. I want to tell you, Elijah was the man right then. So why does he run in fear when he gets this message from Jezebel that says she's going to kill him? If you study this out, Elijah, he runs so fast that he passes Ahab's chariot. He gets to Jezreel, and you read it, he runs to the entrance of the city. And he stops there outside the city gate. Now, doesn't say this, but I'm just imagining. He's just come off a mighty victory. The people have repented. The people have worshiped God. Amen. There, he's killed the false prophets. Ahab has got to see the right way now. Ahab surely is going to make things right in the kingdom. Surely Ahab's going to go back and take care of Jezebel, and things are going to turn around and things are going to be different because we've won the battle and it's going to be easier now. And Elijah's sitting there outside of the city. He's victorious. There's not an unholy thought in his mind. He's just basking in the glory of God, waiting for Ahab to go in and deal with Jezebel and set things straight. Here comes Ahab in his chariot. Elijah's like, yeah, go ahead and take care of this. And then out of nowhere comes a messenger of Satan. Elijah, you're as good as dead. You've gone too far. And now the battle is on. It was just between the devil and God, but now you're in the crosshairs. And you've had it. and you're as good as a dead man. I want to tell you, it's one thing to believe God for victory and to worship and believe God for revival and to pray that God brings healing and miracles and to ask God for liberty and His glory to fill the church. But it's another thing when we come face to face with an angry devil. And he's out to get us personally because our prayers have shaken hell, because we've made a start for God, because we answered his call in our life, and now we're making an impact in the kingdom, and now we're on the enemy's radar because we're a threat. 1 Kings 19 and 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, rise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. He was utterly exhausted. Now, I don't know exactly how it all went, but he just watched those prophets of Baal all day long. They'd carried on. And then he builds the altar. I don't know if he had help or if he had to roll those stones up there and get the wood and the sacrifice on himself. I don't know. I don't know how much help he had, but there that day, God worked a great victory. But then he goes and he's praying for rain. 7 times. And then he runs 16 miles. And then he's expecting God to just utterly just take care of this and remove him from the trial. And just when he thought that he was about ready to come through in victory, all of a sudden here comes a messenger of hell. And he's tired. He's wore out. I want to tell you, some of you are tired. Because you thought the battle would be over by now. You thought the victory would done been won. You thought that you wouldn't have to have another struggle. And you just keep on struggling. You keep on fighting. And you wonder, why is it still like this? And why isn't it easier? I want to tell you, oh, this is a spiritual battle. And it's really not about you, but you're in the middle of what is going on. You're in the middle of a war for the souls of the city of Springfield and the surrounding area. And it's really not about you, but you're in the middle of this. And the enemy is trying to take down the kingdom of God. And if he takes your soul to hell, that's just a bonus for him. So you've got to realize this is a battle. This is a spiritual battle. And sometimes I might be tired. And sometimes I might be weak. But I've got to find a place where I can just lay before the Lord and say, God, I don't have the strength to fight this on my own. But I've got to just stand here. I've just got to just wait here. I've got to just, Lord, I need some help from heaven right now. Because I need you to touch my mind. I need you to touch my heart. I need you to give me strength through this. Come on, has anybody ever been there? You've just been depleted. You don't have anything left. And you need God to come in. And you need a time of refreshing that would refresh your soul. You need a restoration in your spirit. I believe that God is about to do that in this house, because some of you have been fighting the battle. You've been faithful to God, and the enemy's been attacking you with everything he's got. But the fight's not over. The battle's not completely won. God's saying, I've still got another victory ahead, and I want you to keep on. I want you to stand a little longer. I want you to trust me a little bit more, because I'm about to break this thing wide open, and there's going to be revival, and there's going to be souls that are saved, and you're going to be used in the kingdom of God. You read in verse 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing in this cave? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, God, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. The enemy wants to make you think you're the only one going through it. He wants to isolate you and make you feel like you're all by yourself. You're not normal. Everybody else has got it together. You're the only one fighting this battle. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. We've heard this preached many, many times. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat, the Abilamahua, shalt anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. In other words, Elijah, it's time. You got to get back in the battle. You got to stand and fight a little more. Elijah didn't defeat Jezebel. Jehu did. Don't have time for all of this today. Jehu. He rolls up in his chariot. Jezebel, she was connected. She knew he was coming. I don't know how. She had word before he ever got there that Jehu was on the way. She goes and paints her face and fixes her hair and looks out the window. Ahab was already dead. I don't know. She might have thought, well, I'll turn Jehu just like I did Ahab. Jehu looked up and said, who's on my side? Who's on the Lord's side? And some eunuchs were there, and he said, throw her down. And they threw her down. And the dogs ate her remains. It's a whole nother couple sermons. You're not going to defeat Jezebel or the enemy all on your own. But there is power when a church comes together and starts praying. God told Elijah, it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Come on, we're in this together. We can't do it just with my prayers. We can't do it just with your prayers. But when we get to all praying, when we get to all interceding together, when the church comes together as one and says, we're going to stand because it's worth it. The battle is worth it because there are souls in this city that are depending on us. Oh, I want to tell you what, you can make it, but you got to realize this is not just a natural thing. This is not just a physical thing. This is not just something that's a flesh and blood. No, this is a spiritual battle. Would you stand with me in closing today? want to tell you, it gets personal. It's not about you, but it gets personal when you start making a difference in the kingdom of God. It gets personal when your kids are struggling. It gets personal when you're the one under the cloud of doubt and fear. It gets personal when you're praying and you feel that fear come in and something in your spirit realizes this is not the Spirit of God here right now. And the first thing you want to do is stop praying. The first thing you want to do is stop pushing. The first thing you want to do is stop getting attention. You want to hide and say, okay, take the battle somewhere else. I don't want to have to fight this. But we've got to remember the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And the Lord's, he takes care of his own. Jezebel couldn't kill Elijah unless God let her. Oh, this is a spiritual battle. I want to tell you what, that's half the battle right there. Is realizing this is not me losing my mind. This is not me going crazy. This is not me being a failure. This is a spiritual battle. And I don't have to win this on my own. I've just got to stand on the promises of God. And I've got to keep being faithful. And there's going to come a day that the clouds are going to go away. And there's going to come away the day that the storm passes. And the sun is going to shine again. But in the meantime, I've got to trust God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What are we supposed to do? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Some of you are on the right track. You're shaking up the kingdom of hell, and you've got the devil's attention. Your prayers are making a difference. But you're fighting without the armor. And you're suffering. You got to take on the armor of God. I remember a time that there was a certain situation I had to deal with, and every time I had to deal with that, I had to read and work and deal with that situation. Brother Price, I'd feel it. I'd start shaking. What's wrong with me? Did I drink caffeine? You know what? Literally, it felt like I'd start shaking. Inside, not literally, but inside, I'd just be shaking. And I'd pray about it and what's going on here? One day I wisened up. I'm fighting a spiritual battle and I don't even have the weapons of warfare. I'm not even protected with the armor. So I got to where, Brother Tucker, when I knew I had to work with that situation, I'd go to prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. This is a great day, Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I praise you. I worship you, God. I love you, Jesus. God, I pray you search my heart. Forgive me, Lord, of every sin. I repent every bad thing I've done, every bad thing I've said, every bad thing I've thought, Lord. Lord, search my heart. If there's bitterness in me, if there's unforgiveness in me, God, I don't want it to be there. I release that. I forgive people today. I forgive those that have wronged me. I forgive those that have tried to destroy me. I forgive those that have, and you get all of that out of there. And then you pray and you go down through this. And I take on the helmet of salvation. Lord, protect my mind. Protect my head. Protect my eyes. Protect my vision, Lord. Protect the authority that you've given me, the head. I take on the helmet of salvation. And I take on the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, I pray that you protect my heart. I pray that you protect my life. I pray, God, that you would help me to be sensitive to your spirit. Let my heart be so soft that I'm sensitive to the spirit, but God, place a protection there that the enemy can't get to me. Let my loins be girt about with truth, Lord. Help me to love truth. God, don't ever let me give up on truth, but God, help me to love truth. Let my feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace everywhere I go. God, let there be peace. When I walk through the door, even if it's a troubled situation, Lord, let there be peace. Let there be peace. Let there be peace. I take on the shield, that shield of faith, God. You see those fiery darts of the enemy that are coming at me. But Lord, I take on the shield of faith, and I shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I take on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I'm going to go and fight this thing. And I'm going to go touch this thing. And I'm going to go into spiritual warfare. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over me. I plead the blood of Jesus over my wife and over my kids. And I plead the blood of Jesus over my home, Lord. God, let there be a hedge of protection around me. I pray that you would protect us, God, from every sickness and from every disease. I pray that you would protect us from the attack of the enemy. And okay, I'm ready to fight. Now, I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm protected. I'm standing on the word, and I'm going to go into prayer. And I don't even know what to pray sometimes, but you get to praying in the Holy Ghost, and you can feel the evidence, the witness of the Spirit, and you're praying in tongues as the Spirit is praying through you, and you are doing battle in the Spirit. But you've got protection and you've got help. Don't fight the battle on your own. Don't go into spiritual warfare on your own strength. Don't you go to praying in the Spirit without having the weapons of war that God has given you to use. The enemy's tried to run you crazy. He's tried to run you out. He's tried to run you down. He's told you he's going to kill you. He's told you he's going to destroy you. He's going to ruin you in shame. But it's all designed to stop us from doing the will of God. Somebody needs to determine today, I'm going to take on the armor of God, and I'm going to stand on his word and his promises, and we're going to have victory. We're going to have victory. Come on, I hope somebody's encouraged today. Come on, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Come on, somebody today, you need to have a fresh vision of what God wants to do. He wants to give you victory. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you peace. The battle is the Lord's. Is there anybody, you'd come to this altar right now and with me you'd say, oh, this is a spiritual battle I'm going through. I can't fight this with flesh and blood, but I've got to have the power of God. I've got to have the anointing of the Spirit. I've got to have the armor of God, and I'm going to come through this. I'm going to fight this battle. I'm going to stand in the face of the enemy. I'm not running. I'm not running. I'm going to stand.